But there's something within this sense of equilibrium. This person wants to get back to what they think is normal, a relationship or, you know, connecting or having their life be back at some normal level. And so they rush through it. And I think that when we go through changes, no matter what they may be in your life, a health change or employment change or financial change, to just stop and not rush through it. God, what can I learn going through this change in my life?
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, the founder and the president of the Intentional Living Center and your advocate for the family. Today, Dr. Randy concludes growing through change. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Nice tee up for today's program, because we are wrapping up this four-part series. And I want to remind you that if you've missed any of these, you can request this with a donation to the ministry, the CD on this teaching on growing through change. Members, you automatically receive our core teaching this month, which will be on forgiveness and also on retirement. Just before we go over to the teaching studio and continue this series and wrap it up today, I want to just put the spotlight on one area of our network of stations around the country for Intentional Living and Family Life Radio. And it's in San Luis Obispo, in beautiful San Luis Obispo, the central coast of California. We are so pumped as we're beginning our series of Intentional Love Marriage Date Nights, where we just celebrate marriage and have fun and give you really practical stuff for your marriage. We're going to begin 1 week from tonight, next Friday, the 24th, Agape Church, San Luis Obispo. I'm teaching. My wife Donna will be there and our team. Listen, if you haven't gotten your tickets, I encourage you to do so ASAP. Want to see it. Bring some friends with you. It's going to be a lot of fun. Go to theintentionallife.com. Click on the events. You'll see the information there on our events right on the homepage as well. Intentional Love Marriage Conference. Go to theintentionallife.com. All right, let's go over to the teaching studio and continue on this last day on the topic of growing through change. We get so caught up in where we are at this moment, we need to look forward to what happens after it. Here's what happens in change. Many of us get stuck in the process of going through change, and we never come out the other side. Any Star Trekkies here? You Trekkies, you know that one of the things that they had on the Starship Enterprise was the transporter, right? And Captain Kirk and the first officer, they'd stand in the transporter, and they would dematerialize in front of your eyes, and then they would reappear on the planet's surface, right? But they'd always add into some of those shows the mystery that they wouldn't materialize. They'd get lost out there in, you know, in cyber world somewhere. They would be dematerialized, but they would never come back together. And I think what happens in going through change for many people, it's like that transporter. You get into this process of change, but you never quite come out the other side. You know, people still stuck at some denial level of something in their life, never been able to get beyond the reality of what they're facing. I tell people when I talk to them who've gone through a loss, they've gone through a change. I'm talking about the changes that you didn't really want, the things that are difficult. And I always tell the people the same thing. You've got to accept a new normal. You're into a new world today, a new normal, a new way of looking at things. You've got to have a new way of approaching whatever it is that you're facing today. For whatever reason God allowed this change to occur in your life, or why ever this, you know, occurred in your life, if you don't get to a place to realize it's a new normal. I recognize today that there are things that I can do today that I have limitation on doing today that I could have easily done 20 years ago. And if you don't accept that new normal and you fight that new normal, it's a constant battle. See? And so getting to a place where you have a new normal, there's a new normal after divorce, there's a new normal after an empty nest, there's a new normal after a change in your work situation or finances or whatever, and getting to a new normal. Which leads to number 8, is learn going through it. Learn from it. What do you learn when there's a divorce? What do you learn when there's a diagnosis of cancer? What do you learn when someone has hurt you and you didn't expect that, or some other change in your life to learn from it? People, psychologically, we have this need for equilibrium. We want to come back to kind of a level state. Have you ever noticed, like on vacation, you have a big anticipation, you're going on a vacation, you're out there for a week or two, and there's a lot of excitement, and you're doing whatever, but there's something inside of you that wants to get home, and you want to get back to normal? And that's one of the theories about our psychological state, is when we have disequilibrium, we want to come back to this level of equilibrium in our life. Here's what I have found. Sometimes when you face a difficult change in life, it creates such a sense of disequilibrium in your life, you want to rush through it to get back to equilibrium. This is one of the reasons a person, maybe you know, who's going through a divorce, and before the divorce is even over, they're involved with another person. And you're standing back looking at that saying, how could you be doing that? That's such a foolish thing to do. But there's something within this sense of equilibrium. This person wants to get back to what they think is normal, a relationship, or, you know, connecting or having their life be back at some normal level. And so they rush through it. And I think that when we go through changes, no matter what they may be in your life, a health change or employment change or financial change, to just stop and not rush through it. God, what can I learn going through this change in my life? What are you trying to teach me as I go through this change in my life? When you see people go from divorce to dating to remarriage to divorce and remarriage, you see people go from health crisis to health crisis to health crisis and never stopping and learning. Learn from it. Yeah, I don't know what the next change is going to be in your life, and I'm not sure. Even though you try to anticipate it, I'm not sure what it will be for me. But I think we all can admit there are times when we get into a difficult situation, and instead of stopping and learning from it, we want to rush through it and just get back to what we would say to be normal.
This is Intentional Living, and Dr. Randy will be back in a moment to continue growing through change. When you become a new monthly member, you'll receive our Intentional Living New Member Kit, which is a box filled with some really cool stuff. And every month, you'll receive Dr. Randy's great teachings on CD. Join today. Go to theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours at 1-888-1717 and press option number 4. Don't go away. Dr. Randy will be right back.
Are carbohydrates really the cause of your extra weight?
From the Intentional Living Center, welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's King Hoover, our intentional health coach.
For years now, marketers have sold us on that low or no-carb diets are the holy grail for fat loss, while refined, bleached, and processed carbs in excess are certainly a problem. So is no or too low carb. The preferred fuel for your brain and your muscles is carbohydrates, period. We also need carbs to create the brain hormone serotonin in response to sleep and rest. Fuel your body with moderate amounts of beans, whole grains, veggies, and high-fiber fruit, and your weight will take care of itself. For Intentional Living, I'm King Hoover.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy as he continues his teaching from Growing Through Change.
I think we all can admit there are times when we get into a difficult situation, and instead of stopping and learning from it, we want to rush through it and just get back to what we would say to be normal. Number 9, don't ignore it. Don't ignore change. If you ignore change, you do so at your own peril. You know, there are people living in this state of denial, and they ignore the fact that there's a change occurring. We've talked a lot about marriage here because that's such a powerful example of change. But the number of times I've talked to people over the years, especially men who are going through a divorce or a really difficult marriage situation, and it's not until almost the very end that they wake up to the fact they've ignored the fact that their marriage has been going downhill for months or years, and they didn't see it or weren't aware of that, those changes occurring in the relationship, until all of a sudden it blows up. And so it's a wise thing to be able to spend some time and really assess and analyze and pray about the changes that you're going through. And number 10, trust God for it. Trust God. Now, this lesson was not so much of a biblical lesson. It was really based on some of the practical things we know from research about how to get through change in our life. But I want to close with the reality that no matter what change you go through, you come back to trusting God for it. And I'll give you an example. I was thinking of, you know, many different characters in the Bible that went through changes in their life. But the one that came to mind was Joseph. I mean, here's this guy who gets thrown into the pit because his brothers are jealous of him. He gets hauled off into captivity. Now, talk about change now, all right? Think about the little changes we face in life. He gets hauled off to a foreign land into captivity. He gets thrown into jail. Then he ends up in the Potiphar's house as a servant, as a high-ranking official. He gets wrongly accused. He gets thrown back in prison. And then he helps save the nation, right? I mean, hello. We're talking about the social readjustment scale. This guy's got reason to have anxiety attacks, you know? But he concludes the whole story that started in about Genesis 37 of his life. In fact, his life dominates the last part of the whole book of Genesis. And in the very last chapter of Genesis, Genesis 50, verse 20, he summarizes for us about all the changes in his life, all the stress in his life, when he had the encounter with his brothers who had thrown him into the pit. And he had every reason to lash out at the changes that occurred in his life, things he didn't ask for, bargain for. And he makes this statement, "What you meant for evil against me, God meant for good, for the saving of many people." Now, I know that some of the changes that occur in our life is because of our own stupidity. There are things that we do, and we pay the price for, right? I mean, let's just face it. We can't over-spiritualize everything, that God had something good to come from my stupidity. But he has a way of making good come even from our stupidity, doesn't he? But in this case, a man who didn't ask for this, didn't bargain for this, didn't want this, but got it, he's reminded of the fact that even in the midst of the stressful changes in your life, in my life, that we didn't ask for, that God's got something bigger going on. He's got a bigger plan. He's got a bigger design. He's got a reason. And so my challenge is that as we look at these 10 things of growing through change, at the number 10 on the list, that we allow God and trust God through the process. No matter what it is that you've been through, no matter what changes are going to come next, that you trust God that there's something good coming from that, something that will bring him honor and glory. And ultimately, that's our goal, isn't it? Father, thank you for this time together as we've considered the potential to grow through change. I pray that our hearts will be open to growing through the changes in our life. We don't know what's next. We don't know what the next change can be and when it comes, but that we'd be in a place that we would trust you and grow through it. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.
All right. We're live back here in our Intentional Living studio, wrapping up this series on growing through change. But don't go away. We're going to be putting the microphone back there and sharing some thoughts that people had after this series. We'll be doing that in just a moment. Before we do, I just want to again say thank you to members. And the reason I pause and thank the members is because I want all of us around the country and around the world who are listening in to pause for a moment and reflect on the fact there are special people who are on this journey of living intentionally and making it possible by their ongoing monthly support. all around the country, like Dawn from Jackson, Michigan, and Natalie from Scottsdale, Arizona, and Deborah from Maricopa, and here's Elaine from Texas, and others who have said, hey, you can count on me every month to be a part of the ministry. Thank you. If you're not, come and join us, it's going to be a benefit to you. It's going to help you in your marriage, your family, your finances, because we're teaching every month, not only on the air, but we send to you the CD teaching, the core teaching every month as a way of saying thank you. So you can listen to it at your leisure, in your car, at home, or wherever it may be. And you're a part of making a difference. And we have a new members kit, which includes two of our best-selling intentional living books that I've written on Power of One Thing and Star for Affection, both of them autographed. And I'm also going to put in there the wristband, wristband that I wear every day. I encourage you for at least 30 days to wear it. Challenge you to be intentional for one thing. Go to theintentionallife.com, click donate, or call 888-1717 and press number 4, okay? All right, as I mentioned, we're going to, in just a few minutes here, we're going to move back into the studio and hand the mic around to hear some of the interesting thoughts that staff and participants and visitors had to share on this topic of change.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
When I started to show my wife love, she wondered what was going on.
Thousands of people are discovering the power of intentional love.
That's what she responded to, and that's what saved our marriage.
Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Let me show you how you can have that loving, intimate marriage relationship that you desire. Join me for the Intentional Love Marriage Conference, March 24th at Agape Church, San Luis Obispo. Go to theintentionallife.com.
Dr. Randy, my name is Tammy. The reason I'm calling in this morning is I just listened to your show and about the lady who had been married for 2 years and that and trying to change her husband. Well, I've been married 24 years this year, and for years I've tried to change my husband, and it does not work. I've tried to make him into a spiritual leader, but you can't change your husband. You have to change yourself and pray for your husband and pray for yourself and pray for your relationship. And it's taken me 22 years to learn that lesson. You need to pray for your husband, not try to change him. And nagging definitely does not work. Thank you.
Yeah, that's worth the whole program right there. The advice that she just gave will de-stress our lives and remind us that we're not in charge, we're not the Holy Spirit in someone else's life, including our spouse. Pray for them, encourage them, and challenge them when you need to. But remember, we're not in the business of changing somebody else. This series on change was designed to help you grow through change. I'd love to hear your feedback. Has it helped you? Has it encouraged you? Let us know. Go to theintentionallife.com. Well, after we wrapped up the teaching, or I had a chance to teach staff and visitors, we opened the microphone to our staff and asked them to share their thoughts on change. I thought I'd take you back into the teaching studio and let you hear what we talked about. Take a listen.
Let me ask you just to reflect on changes in your life. What are some things you've wrestled with?
Learning from it. I mean, there's so many times when we make the same mistake 2, 3, 4 times, and then eventually we get hit over the side of the head and say, I need to do something different, or this is going to continue to happen. So when the change is occurring, you anticipate it, and then you need to remember what happened last time and learn from it.
It's good. Amy?
Sometimes I think when you're in the middle of it, it's hard to look beyond it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you feel stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that there's going to be the other side of it.
That's very true. One of the things I've tried to do when I'm in a situation where people are asking for my counsel on something, usually it's right when they're in the middle of it. You know, I just found out my spouse is having an affair, you know, and it's 2 days into that, and they're completely overwhelmed and whatever. I always share with them, the sun's coming up tomorrow. Because when you get caught in the midst of that kind of a crisis, you lose any perspective that there's life after this, see? And so looking forward to what comes up, you know, after this is stabilizing for people. Okay, what else?
When I went through middle management downsizing with a company, my first response was the last one. God promised me that he had hope and a future for me. So even though I didn't know what the next day held, I knew that he held it. You know that song, I Don't Know About Tomorrow, mm-hmm. I Just Live From Day to Day. So my first stop was the church and the altar. Mm. And I asked God to be very clear with me and to shut every door that was not meant for me and to let me know exactly which door was right, because I promised not to step to the right or the left. And he put me through challenges. So as you're going through this process, the growth and the change, there are going to be tests as to whether or not we will choose what honors God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so we have to be very disciplined and stay in a in an attitude of prayer to be able to see where he's leading.
And sometimes change brings us back to the real foundation of the basics of life. How many times have you heard people interviewed when there's been a tragedy in their family, there's been a death or a plane crash, or in fact, I was watching a special the other day on, you ever seen that channel where they show plane crashes and they you know, they analyzed those. They were interviewing some people who'd been through a crash, and they'd asked them, you know, what they'd learned and what and so on. It was always back to the same thing. Take every day, enjoy your moment, enjoy your family. It brings you right back to the basics of life. Again, those are some things we can learn. Okay, some others. Going through change. What have you learned from this?
One thing I think that can happen is sometimes we're in denial, but we think we're just being hardy. So that is something, hardiness, I think we only gain that after we've actually maybe healed from that change or, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what true hardiness is. And I think sometimes it often, we think it's hardiness, but really it's denial. So until mm-hmm. you got to work through that first, and then you get that hardiness for the next round.
That's good. That'd be a good lesson right there, spiritual hardiness. As Christians, what's the spiritual aspect of, you know, when we look at commitment and control and challenge, what's the biblical perspective on that? Right.
When I've been faced with some of the harder challenges, if I can get one little piece of control over something, then I'm okay. Just one thing that I can do where I don't feel like a victim.
Hmm.
So when I was going through the divorce, you know, I still had a job. I still, you know, I could do this, take care of my children.
That's part of that hardiness, that sense of having control over things I can't control. What else? Anybody else?
As you went through points 1 through 9, I started thinking about all the changes that have occurred and things that are coming up. When I got to number 10, I thought, you know, I really can say about everything that's happened in my life, God meant it for good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Christian can say that.
Well, I hope this is practical. A very practical lesson. It was helpful for me. I tend to write lessons sometimes when I'm going through stuff. And Don and I were talking last night. I talk and I put her to sleep. Well, the question was, is it harder to go through change as you get older or when you're younger? Now, I don't know if that's every person's different. We've come to the conclusion it's harder as you get older. When you're older, it's sometimes a little harder to kick, you know, come back from changes. Isn't it interesting, you know, people, think about children. Some children, you can't change anything. I mean, because they're just kids. They haven't learned about life and experiences yet. And you move one thing and it's a disruption. Their whole life gets disrupted. As we get older, and we've been through a burnt house, see, or a failed or a lost relationship or whatever, when those things can either bitter you or soften you in terms of, hey, don't sweat the small stuff. It's all small stuff. Yeah. Yes, over here.
One thing that I have found in my life is that change, whether it was moving, a job change, whatever, those things were easier to handle than when it was something that happened relationally.
Yes, and you could see on that adjustment scale, the top three were all marriage-related. Divorce, the death of a spouse, divorce, and what was the third one? Separation. You know, those were all big relational kinds of things. And then you add in children and other relationships. That tends to be the big issue.
I think especially when you've trusted those people in that relationship, whatever it happens to be, that makes it even harder to walk through
That's true.
Whatever that challenge or change is.
That's good. That's true.
So we just had a change at Christmas time, and we decided to change the way we were doing things Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. And our 15-year-old granddaughter was just so upset. Christmas morning was not going to be at our house. It was going to be at her parents' house. And she's like, but we always do it this way. And it's like, Joe and I looked at it and said, you know, we're going to be together, so what's the big deal? But I think sometimes kids need that stability.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, better. When we lose that stability, she was obviously having a problem going through that.
I think it's sometimes harder to accept when it's a change that happens to you than rather maybe my own stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I can take control over, well, I was ignorant or whatever. But, of course, I go back to the fact of something I can control, my attitude.
That's good. Well, this has been good discussion. And coming back to the fact that ultimately we have to trust God, something's bigger going on, trusting Him for the outcome of whatever it is.
This is Monica from California. I'm calling to let you know my intentional living. I choose to love Christ, trust in Jesus, continue to go to that place to love and ask for love for my husband. I ask God for everything about my husband. I don't have to go to my husband as much. I ask God for everything, and He gives it to me. I've done it since 92, and it's been a blessing. It's not been easy, but God has had His hand on us, and that's the best part about it. Intentional living, that's us now.
There you go. Thank you. Trusting God, He loves you. You know, as we wrap up this series on change, again, I just want to invite you to tell us your story. What have you learned? How are you changing? How is God moving in your life? Tell us. Go to our Intentional Living website. You can share with us there. Go to Facebook or call 888-888-1717. Thank you for your support. This is a listener-supported ministry. Your financial support allows us to do this every day, to get this signal out and our program and our impact around the world. And your monthly support matters. Can I challenge you to pray about a dollar a day, $30 a month, in support of the Intentional Living Center? A dollar a day, $30 a month. It'd make a difference. Thank you for standing with us. And I want to send you our new member kit to say thanks. It's the books that we have here, Power of One Thing and Star for Affection, along with our ongoing teaching. Again, go to theintentionallife.com. On Monday, we're going to have a program, The Power of Forgiveness. We invite your calls. We'll see you then. Love to hear from you from Intentional Living. Also, by the way, when you're at the website, remember, 1 week from tonight, the San Luis Obispo Intentional Love Marriage Conference. We'll see you on Monday.